Hey guys, this is Kevin. I just wanted to apologize for the excess amount of mowing and tree trimming and dog barking that happens in this episode. We tried to mute ourselves while the madness was happening, but there's a little bit of all of that noise in here, so we apologize ahead of time. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 10 of Percussion Perspective. This is Kevin with
Remy.
And today we are going to talk about Bandcamp and give approximately 10 tips on starting Bandcamp, because Remy and I are both going to be starting up our Bandcamps, I think, next week, right?
Yeah, we start this coming Monday, which I think most people are probably starting this coming Monday. It kind of just depends on, you know, when you're starting school, but seems like most of the programs around have either started this week or are starting this next coming week. So,
yay. So we are going to give kind of just 10 quick things to think about, probably mostly for percussion directors, but beneficial to kind of anybody that is teaching band coming up soon. So we're just going to kind of go back and forth giving some tips, and we have not talked about this ahead of time, so I'm interested to see what tips Remy has. You want to start with number one?
Yeah, same. So my first one is start on time no matter what. One of the worst things, and I've made this mistake, you know, multiple times, you get there and you're waiting on people, or you're waiting on music to print, or someone shows up and they don't have their exercise packet or whatever. And it just, like, you know, you end up starting 15, 20 minutes late because everyone's messing with setting up their drums and blah, 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 blah. But if you establish, you know, like, hey guys, we're starting at 7 a.m. My program, we do 7 a.m. to 2 in the afternoon every day for 2.5 or 3 weeks. That's our band camp. And, you know, I've noticed the years that I have been really rigid about, even on day one, like, we're starting, downbeat is at 7 a.m. I don't care if half of the kids are still not set up. You just establish that you're going to start on time every day. That really kind of gets everybody into the right mindset of, you know, you can't just come in with your iced coffee and kind of slowly get your drum on the stand and slowly get your stuff ready, and we'll just start whenever. So start on time no matter what.
Yep. That's going to also help leading into your school year when kids have to be there at 7 or whatever time you start.
Even earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to set that precedence. That's a good one. Number two, or my first one, but I guess tip number two is make sure during band camp that you're giving your kids time to, like, get to know each other, and that they are, like, having fun amongst all of the heat and the continued reps of, like, marching fundamentals, stuff like that. Because like, band camp is a long, like, it's a long couple of weeks or however long your band camp is. And so you want to make sure kids are having fun and getting to know each other, because if you've got, like, a drum line, kind of, we're talking percussion specifically, if you've got a drum line that gets along, they know each other, they're happy with each other, they're comfortable with each other, they're going to end up playing well together. They're going to be more inclined to work hard to play well together. So I think that's good. So just remember that you are trying to get a good drum line and get a job done, but make sure you're giving them time to kind of, like, get to know each other, make some time for those little fun sessions.
Yeah. I think the camaraderie, I have one, that's sort of along those lines, but the camaraderie of that is really good. And especially for, you know, those freshmen that this is their first year doing this, you know, your sophomores through seniors, they've all already at least done this together as a group for 1 year. And so you get the, you know, this new class in that they're behind everybody, they've never done it. And so kind of doing, you know, whether you play some games or some icebreakers or whatever, those can be good or they can be really cringy. Kind of just depends on what you pick. But I remember when I was in band camp, we did a lot of, like, We called it like a drill down, like a marching challenge. And our directors would come up with, you know, starting from really easy commands like forward eight, back eight, and close. And we would like, everybody would do that. And then it's almost like a Simon Says type thing. If you mess up, then you're out. And it would get down to like, you know, the last two kids. And it'd be like forward four, back four, left eight, right 16, hold two, four, you know, just be like this crazy string of commands. And as people would fall out, they would go to the sideline and then they're like cheering each other on. And then it'd be the last two kids, you know, and the last person standing wins or whatever. But yeah, just like, you know, things like that, that, that kind of get everybody, out of the suck fest that, that band camp can be sometimes.
Yeah.
Making it fun. Yeah. I like that. My next one is start with a goal in mind as a group. So, you know, I mean, obviously some people, their goal is like, we want to win Grand Nats or something like that. That's probably not a great goal to set, because when you do set a really lofty goal like that, that you're most likely not going to achieve, maybe that's super negative, but, you know, you want to be successful. And my program here, we have set the goal of like in the next 2 to 3 years, we really want to be placing in our class in the state, which just got harder because Kevin's group just came up into our class and they're a really strong group. And there's a you know, a couple other of the bigger Oklahoma schools that came into ours. So anyway, that just got harder. Our pathway to doing that just became more difficult, but that's still one of our goals. But I mean, as a percussion section or as a horn, you know, horn line or whatever, start with a goal. And maybe that goal is we want to be able to play all the way through our exercise packet by the end of the first week, or we want to be able to play through our opener, like at a really high level by the end of band camp for our preview performance or some, you know, something like that, that's going to be attainable. Like a short-term goal, that way they all get a little bit of taste of that success, because marching band is, it's a really, it's like you're playing the long game with marching band. It's really hard. These kids, especially freshmen that have never done it before. It's not uncommon to see a kid come in like early September before marching competitions have started. And they're like, hey, we've been doing this for 2 months and I haven't gotten any payoff from it. And, you know, then they get to that first competition and they kind of start to understand what it's about and see why you work so hard. But if you can set like a short-term goal as a group and achieve that goal within, you know, a week or two, or set a few of those, just to kind of give them a little bit of a taste of success, and that will keep them coming back for more.
Yeah, I like all that. That's good. Setting those goals are important, and having kind of short-term, long-term goals, like you said, kind of keeps them pumped to keep pushing. So I like that. Tip number four is, if you're a percussion guy specifically, I've had problems with this in the past, so I'm going to work on it more this band camp, this coming band camp, but work on bass drum spacing a lot. we have had issues, I don't know, the last 10 years of like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the fact that they're like wearing these drums and they don't understand their spacing, but work on bass drum spacing during band camp. Like if you get to a point where they're marching well enough, take them, pull them to the side and kind of like try to explain to them how they're spacing should work, so they can start to visually kind of memorize how far away they should be from the drummer in front of them, which I was going to ask you how you do it. Do you guys tell your bass drummers that their spot is like their feet, or do you do like in between them and their drum, or like, is their drum their spot, or have you ever thought about it?
I mean, yeah, we just use like, are you talking about drill
drill?
Yeah. Yeah. When we're learning drill, it's just like, you know, the back of your heels line up with your dot or whatever. But yeah, there are some sets for sure. You know, like you're going to have to you're really trying to space the drums evenly apart.
Right.
Because 99% of the time the bass drums are facing the end zone.
Right.
So that the audience is seeing the head of the bass drum, the side of the bass drum, because that's how the sound travels. So yeah, it's like, if you're sitting there and you're like, what is Kevin talking about? When you see a bass drum line, you're really drawn more to seeing the bass drum spacing rather, like it sticks out. If there's two bass drums that are closer together than the other three bass drums are, then that sticks out. So yeah, I mean, I haven't really found anything super innovative to help with that other than just like, hey man, you gotta be on your dot or whatever, yeah. Or sometimes they're on their dot and then the spacing will look weird because bass four and five look closer together than bass one and two. So sometimes just kind of adjusting that. I think maybe just like you said, early on talking about it and helping them realize, when you're just like walking around as a person, you're aware of like the front of your body. And then when you put this drum on, the front of your body is like anywhere from, 16 inches to 28 inches away from you, depending on what size drum you're wearing. And so just kind of making them aware of that. That's a good point.
Yeah. I think maybe I can kind of fill up that tip with just like, think about problems that you had in the past and think about how during band camp you can get ahead of that problem. Cause that's just one of the big problems we've had in the past is like bass drum spacing. So I'm going to try to be better at that. All right. Take us into number five.
Yeah, this is maybe a little bit of a controversial one. I don't really think it should be. Don't start with show music. Like I know. I really think if you're passing out show music on day one, that's kind of a mistake. And there's a couple reasons. There are a couple like caveats to that. If you've already had like a full percussion camp, for like, I know there's a couple groups that they might do like, if their band camp starts this coming week, then their percussion has been going for this week. So, maybe they've already been going for 5 days or whatever, or maybe you've been meeting periodically through the summer. I haven't built my program up enough to where I can do that yet. And also I like my summer, so I kind of don't want to, it's just, I have mixed feelings about that also. But don't start with your show music. If you're passing that out on day one, I think that's a mistake. You should really be able to play through all of your exercises at a pretty high level. Like they don't have to be perfect. Your triplet rolls don't have to be 100% clean, but if you have a good packet, that should really be like, and like I write our music for my school. I arrange the percussion music. So my packet is really, really geared towards the way that I write. So if we can play through the packet, theoretically, we should be able to play through most of the show music. And I think a lot of people are similar, and if you need help putting together a packet, you can email us or something. But just don't start with show music. Use that as a reward. That could be a goal. Like we want to be able to play through our entire packet in the first week, and then we will get our opener music or something like that. Because honestly, everybody wants to work on show music. A lot of kids don't want to work on exercises. And so I think using that a little bit as a light at the end of the tunnel type thing to pass out. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
You just hate me now?
No, it's good. I think it can just depend on what your schedule looks like. I know of a band program in Oklahoma that is going to BOA that like wants to have their entire show like done during band camp.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So
I mean, more power to you.
Yeah. It really just depends on your schedule. I mean, if you're going to have a crazy year where you're going to these bigger contests, then you want to rush through it. But then in that case, you've probably maybe had more camps. Like maybe you've already done a percussion week, or you had a end of school year percussion week, or whatever. But yeah, I mean, the point of having an exercise packet is that you can play your exercise packet, so you should be able to play it and sound good. And by skipping all of those exercises, if you jump straight to show music, you're kind of telling your students indirectly that like, hey, these exercises aren't that important.
So yeah, you're skipping those fundamental things and not so, emphasizing.
Yeah. Yeah. So if, it's a good thing to be able to play through your music. Yeah.
And I this like isn't that. To say that this isn't to say that you shouldn't like work on show music in Bandcamp. Like that's not true. I'm just saying, don't pass it out on day one, maybe even day two, you know, like wait a little bit until you feel comfortable, until your students are kind of attaining those things, you know, even upperclassmen, they might take it, you know, most of a summer off and like, they kind of forget what it's like to be mentally engaged and go through that mark time, sticks out, good attack, focus all the way through an exercise, end with a nice release and then a crisp sticks in. Like until they're doing all that pretty consistently, they just really don't need show music, in my opinion. I think you're going to have more success focusing on exercises for the first, you know, few days of Bandcamp. Because again, Bandcamp is mostly for those fundamentals. And then I do think, you know, pass it out for that second week or whatever, because most programs do some sort of preview performance. And so like they play through their opener or whatever for the parents to be like, hey, we weren't just wasting our time for these last, yeah, for these last 2 weeks or 3 weeks. So you gotta give them some show music, but don't do it right away. All right, what you got next?
Okay, number six.
Yeah, I don't even know, but
yeah, we're on tip number six. I think that this is kind of for the front ensemble, but when you like, if you're in a situation at your school where you have a front ensemble tech that comes in and gets to teach your front ensemble, or if it's you, get all of your kids on a mallet instrument during the first big chunk of band camp. Like don't, if you're going to have like four or five rack kids, but you're going to start off by learning some scales or mallet exercises, don't just have those kids sit there and like diddle on their phone while you're working through it with like 50% of the other kids on mallet instruments. Like if you have enough instruments, get every single kid. Cause who knows, like some of those kids that are on rack might be your mallet players next year or 2 years from that point or something. So, and I mean, if anything, you're also having them, you know, get better at mallet, reading and mallet playing. So that's going to benefit you in concert season when that comes up. But, I kind of remember like I would feel a little guilty walking in to like check on the front ensemble or something. And like they're heavy into some scales or green scale or whatever. And the rat kids are like sitting on the ground.
And yeah, that's like, no good.
And it's like, I get it because they're not playing a mallet instrument, but they're also wasting hours of their lives just sitting there. So they may not like it. They may be like, oh, I'm playing toms and bass drum. Why do I need to practice all this mallet stuff? And it's like, well, your tom and bass drum parts are probably going to be pretty straightforward. So get better at some mallet stuff, I think.
Yeah. And unless you want to like write specific auxiliary warmups, which I don't have time to do that. And I don't want to mess with doing that. Yeah. I make all my kids learn the front ensemble packet. And there might be some that struggle with four mallet. And so I'm like, okay, here's a workaround for that. You don't need to use four mallet or maybe just do one hand at a time or something. But yeah, I like that one a lot. Everybody should be benefiting from, you know, spending time, in the packet. And so, yeah, make everybody learn the keyboard warmups also. Cool. Next. Do some sort of fitness routine and then do it with them. I think there's nothing more annoying than like a band director that is making kids do stuff, but not willing to do it themselves. And you know, a lot of it depends on like what kind of shape you're in and blah, 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 blah. But yeah, I mean, really, this could be boiled down to don't make them do anything that you're not also willing to do. I try to like keep that, respect or that level of, I don't really know what I'm trying to say, but you know, I don't want to appear like a hypocrite where
it's like be a leader.
Yeah. I don't want to make my students do something that I'm also like, I show them that, hey, I'm going to do this with you. Like, you know, we got new drums this year and we went with Pearl, and like, especially those quads, they're quite a bit heavier than the Yamaha quads. Like they say they're not online, but they are. Like I've lifted a set of Yamaha quads and then immediately a set of Pearl quads, and they're heavier. And they sound great and they look great, but they're heavy. So, you know, especially those kids that are going to have to haul those things around for 7 or 8 minutes on the field. It's like, you know, we got to do like squats and lunges and planks and things like that, build up your lower body and your core strength. So we have a fitness routine. I'll plug Forte Athletics here. It's a really cool channel, and that guy has a lot of really good tips on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and things like that. There's a couple, you know, like drumline exercises. And we did a couple of those during our percussion camp at the beginning of the summer. And then, you know, I'm going to have about a 15 or 20 minute block every day during band camp where we just do conditioning stuff. You know, modern marching band requires athleticism. And so trying to get those kids, you know, to where they're going to be able to perform at a high level. So you got to have some sort of fitness routine and do it with them. Don't be lazy and sit there in a chair and eat Quick Trip taquitos. Don't do that.
Those are good.
I have literally experienced that before.
They're so good. They're bad for you though.
Yeah, they're terrible for you.
Most things in America are bad for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
all
good.
Right, what else you got? I got one more after this.
Okay. Tip number eight. Play a lot, I think.
No.
Your kids probably the majority of your kids have not played all summer. I mean, I know of at least one of my students who has like been playing like crazy, practicing for Allstate and like learning all the music like crazy. But then the majority of my kids probably have not played. I hope that they have. So when you get into music rehearsal during band camp, play a lot. Like, yes, do your technique spiel every now and then, say what you need to, but like do as many reps as possible. And connected with that, have your kids. I'm just realizing, did I take your last tip?
I don't think so.
Okay. You made that noise. Anyway, sorry.
No, can you hear, there's someone's using a chainsaw outside my house. Can you hear that?
I muted myself earlier because somebody was mowing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's like,
so if you want to mute myself, if you want to mute yourself, yeah, just don't forget to unmute.
Just don't talk for the rest of the podcast.
So anyway, play a lot and send your kids home with, individual goals if you can. So like, you know, I know it's one of those things where your kids are like, when they go home from band camp, like they've literally spent an entire work day at band camp. So they're tired. They probably don't want to play, but if they can have some kind of little goal to come back with for your next music rehearsal, they're probably going to be more inclined to like fix it, whether it's like how they mark time or stick heights or some kind of marching technique. If they can have a little goal to bring back the next day or the next couple of days, that'll help them and make them more inclined to practice. So, but yeah, just the tip here is like play a lot. Don't sit there and have like a 10-minute spiel with them about downstrokes. Like just say it and then let them play. Let them do reps.
Yeah. I have fallen into that as I think that's more of like, people always say that's a young teacher problem.
Yep.
Like you get out of university and you're like, oh, I have all this knowledge and I just, you know, you're like start over explaining everything when really all you could say is, hey guys, you need to play lower right there. And like, that's like, kids understand what that means, you know? And then instead of taking 5 minutes to explain what that means and how to do that physically, like you could let them have 7 or 8 reps of playing lower in those 5 minutes and they would just get it. So
yeah,
I still struggle with that. I probably struggle with that on this podcast. I like just am long winded sometimes.
Well, it's like if your kids don't know how to react to what you say to them and you've had them since sixth grade, like they should, you're not really saying that many new things that you didn't say in sixth grade. So like,
right. They should just be getting better at understanding what you're saying every year.
All right. Number nine.
All right. Let's see. This is the one you kind of hinted at this. So, this is my last tip here, unless I can come up with one, while you're saying your last one. Are we going to end with 10? Is the name of the episode going to be correct?
Or are we just going to
name it 10-ish tips?
I think you can do this one, and I'm going to do the last one that I think is the best one, and then we can stop at 10.
Okay. So balance growing as an ensemble with having fun. So yes, you should be, the goal of Bandcamp is to grow as an ensemble, to grow as individual musicians. My dogs are barking. Sorry. You need to be getting better as an ensemble, better as individuals. Like Kevin said, play a lot, send them home with, I've done video assignments in the past, when we start to get into show music and things like that, but you've got to have fun. You've got to let them be kids, and like have fun with them. Don't just be like, all right, water balloon fight, and then go in your office or whatever. And it doesn't have to be a water balloon fight. Just, you know, do anything to give them even a little 10-minute break, 15-minute break, where they're doing some sort of team building type stuff. That's going to help them reset and help them relax and refocus. And then when you come back, it's going to be so much better. So yeah, you've got to have like those activities maybe once a day where you give their brain a little bit of a break to just do something and be social and enjoy being with their friends. Like Kevin was saying earlier, kind of building those relationships as a drumline or as a front ensemble or just and then an entire percussion section as well. Or really just a band, like a marching band, you know, doing those things all together is really cool. One of my favorite memories being in band camp as a high schooler, we would always have a watermelon eating contest at the end of band camp. And like all the leadership kids would have a slice of watermelon and they had to have their hands tied behind their backs and like eat through the slice of watermelon without it, you know? And it ended up just being a big prank on everybody. And they would like, as soon as they start, they would pick up the water slice and like slam it on someone's head. So, and then it was just a big watermelon fight. It, really wasteful.
Sticky.
But it was a lot of fun. So, you know, things like that to create camaraderie and team building. And I think that's really important. You know, they're not just robots. You can't just force them to work and work and work all the time. You've got to give them a break to get more out of everything. So,
yep. I like that. I would like to formally apologize for all of our dogs that are back, that are barking and going crazy.
Yeah. There's like a tree trimming service outside and our dogs think that it's, they're terrorists or something.
All right. Last one. Tip number 10. As the percussion director or even the band director, be okay with like changing your music or like watering down music or making it harder. You know, nobody knows what your marching band show is supposed to sound like. So like if you are, this might be a little bit more like toward the middle of band camp, like once you get through some music and figure out the level and all that stuff, but be okay with like changing stuff. If you get your music from your arranger and the rack parts are boring, like add something to it. Or if your bass drum music is too hard, water it down. Like no one knows. So have fun with it and make your music sound the way that you want it. You know, when you're trying to get music arranged by somebody, it might not be exactly as you pictured it or as you wanted it. So, you know, it's not like you're kind of preparing for state contest with your concert band and you kind of have to play what the music says. Be okay with like watering down. Every year there's something in my music that I will change or make harder or easier or take something out or add something in or whatever. So just be flexible and know that the judges at your marching band contest have no idea what it's supposed to be as long as what it is like clean and sounds good.
Yeah, that's a good one. I do that too. And like I said, I arrange our music. So that's like pretty, I do that constantly. I'm like, oh, I actually hate that measure. Let's change it to this. And then I can like, you know, go home later, that make a note of it, go home later that day, rewrite it in Sibelius, and then print, you know, reprint the snare drum part or reprint a vibe part or whatever. But yeah, just because it's on the page doesn't mean you have to play it that way. If something's not working, you know, replace the diddles with buzzes or take the diddles out. And then you can always kind of hold that over their head and be like, hey guys, we're just going to do the check of this measure until we can clean that up. And then we'll see if we can add the diddles back in later in the season. That I do that constantly.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just certain licks when I write them, I'm like, I know this is going to be, something that is, we're just going to work on all season. And maybe by the end of the season, we'll be able to actually play this measure. But yeah, if not, and we have to check it or change it a little bit, that's totally fine. So good tips. That was 10. I think we're going to stop there so that we can have an episode title that is accurate. I was thinking of one more, but I forgot it. So lucky you, you don't have to listen to that. Remember when we thought this was going to be like a 15-minute episode?
Yeah, we always end up. Yeah, we need to just, if we're ever going to do a short episode, we need to be like, no discussion.
Yeah.
These are our thoughts.
Literally read it. Then it'll be like 3 minutes though. Yeah. So,
well, hopefully these tips have been, are useful to you. And, we might do kind of more of these as we think of things as Bandcamp gets rolling. And probably the next couple of months will be, marching band focused things. So,
yeah, cause that's where our brains are going to be. And I don't have any more brain capacity to think about anything else. So,
yeah,
this is going to come out on, you know, our episodes are on Fridays. So this is going to drop on Friday morning, right before our band camp is starting. So that's kind of why we wanted to do this episode. Hopefully you can listen to it, share it with other people. Again, if you've got emails, comments, anything like that, you can check out our contacts in the show notes. We did get a couple emails this last week, so we'll be responding to those. Thank you to those people that emailed in. And should we shout those people out?
We can if you want to.
Let's do it. Thank you, Sharla and Keaton, for sending us emails with questions. We'll be responding to those as we can. And then maybe if we get, you know, a handful of more questions, we'll just do a listener mail episode or something.
We can have like a little sound like bing, 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 bing.
Yeah. Scoop, boop, beep, ba-do, bap.
Also, anyway, do us a favor, guys, if you feel so inclined, on Spotify or however you're listening to this, go give us a quick review. Give us those stars and give us some reviews so we can actually know how we're doing and if you guys like this or not.
Yeah, but don't give us 4 stars.
Please. There. Yeah. All right. Five. We'll see you guys next time.
Later, guys. Thank you.